Well, once again, happy St. Patrick's Day, Devon. Woo! My. When was the time change? I'm just checking. I want to say that especially to the Irish among us. If you're new today, welcome. I'm glad you've joined us online or in person. I'm Pastor Bert, and I hope you're enjoying your time with us, and hope you find it uplifting and even enlightening for you today. You see, we're journeying through a year of discovery this year, and we're learning that when you discover something, it's not just for the purpose of gaining knowledge. We believe that each discovery has the potential to change our lives for good and for the glory of God. What I'm talking about, of course, is our character, right? When God shows us something new about himself, or something maybe about ourselves, maybe something we need to change or change ourselves in, or by adding something good, maybe taking away something bad in our lives, God always has a purpose behind it, right? And that's to make us more like Jesus. Sometimes these moments of discovery come from situations we find ourselves in, which change us forever. And that's the story of St. Patrick, the account of a life that was transformed by God. He was a British Roman citizen, as I mentioned earlier, named Patricius Suchet. In the book, The World of St. Patrick by Philip Freeman, it reveals that there are many myths that are espoused to Patrick, the man who supposedly drove the snakes out of Ireland, defeated fierce druids in contests of magic, and used the shamrock, right, to explain the Christian Trinity to the pagan Irish. It's a great story, but none of it's true. The shamrock legend came along centuries after Patrick's death, as did the miraculous battles against the druids. And folks, forget about the snakes. There never have been snakes in Ireland, according to what they know. No snakes, no shamrocks, and he wasn't even Irish. Wow. Patrick, in his own writings, tells us that he was a spoiled and rebellious young Roman citizen, living a life of luxury in 5th century Britain. Another fallacy was that he was Catholic. However, the Roman Catholic Church wouldn't even make it to the Emerald Isle for another 700 years after Patrick's death. Now, you may have never known much about Patrick, or cared for that matter. Or you may be sad that I've now, you know, that legend that you cherish, I've now debunked. But the thing is that the reality of this man of God is actually better than the myths. You see, Patrick was kidnapped from his family's British estate as a teenager and sold into slavery across the sea in Ireland. For 6 years, he endured brutal conditions as he watched over his master's sheep on a lonely mountain in a strange land. He went to Ireland an atheist, but there he heard what he believed was the voice of God. And one day he escaped. He risked his life to make the perilous journey across Ireland, finding passage back to Britain on a ship of reluctant pirates who didn't want to do anything. That's for all you VeggieTales fans. Of course, his family welcomed him back with open arms, right? Their long-lost son, and assumed he would return to his life of privilege. But Patrick had heard a different call. He returned to Ireland to bring a new way of life to a people who had once enslaved him. He constantly faced opposition, threats of violence, and even criticism from jealous church officials. But through all the difficulties, Patrick maintained his faith and persevered in his Irish mission. I think what made Patrick successful was his dogged determination and the courage to face whatever dangers would lie ahead of him, as well as the compassion and forgiveness to work among a people who had brought nothing but pain into his life. But none of this came naturally to him. He was a man of great insecurities, it says, who constantly wondered if he was really cut out for the mission that he'd been given. His own writings admit that he was even given to fits of depression, self-pity, and anger. So Patrick was not your typical storybook saint, meek and mild, skipping along Ireland through Ireland with a carefree smile, right? He was very much a normal person who constantly made mistakes and frequently failed to live up to his own Christian ideals. But he was honest enough to recognize his shortcomings and never allow defeat to rule his life. Now, I suppose if you're a history buff, you're thoroughly enjoying all of this, but I'm not here to give you a history lesson today. The reason I bring up Patrick's story is because just like there are many people in the Bible who are godly examples of us to learn from, as I said earlier, I believe we can also learn from the lives of those who have gone before us. Those who demonstrate a life devoted to God. Those who trusted him thoroughly. Those who by faith overcame adversity. And those who by the power of God changed nations. And that is literally what God did through Patrick in Ireland. It had been a wicked and morally bankrupt nation, but by God's transforming grace, it became known as the Island of Saints. Folks, we want our town, our province, our nation changed and transformed by God's love and grace. Then perhaps there are some things we can learn from this man of God that will encourage us today to grow in our character to the point of making a difference in the lives of the people around us. Again, the greatest discoveries that we can make are those that change us, right? Change our lives. As people who believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he is, the one and only Son of God, the second person of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we need to understand that we're not called to just live good lives, but to be transformed and reflect the character of Jesus in our lives for everyone else to see. So, all throughout this year of discovery, we're going to look at different character traits throughout the year that must be appropriated and apparent in our lives. But nobody can live a good enough life to do this all on their own. The only way it happens is if Jesus lives in you by his Spirit. You can't become like Jesus if you ain't with him. God, speaking through one of his ancient spokesmen named Ezekiel, put it like this: I will give them one heart, a new heart, and put a new spirit within them. I will take from them the heart of stone and will give them a heart of flesh that is responsive to my touch. That's what happens when you put your trust in Jesus. As the forgiver, as the leader of your life, he gives you a heart transplant, replacing your selfish and sinful heart with a selfless and sinless heart. And then he seals that work by placing his own spirit within you. And that's the only reason why we as Christ followers can show his love. We can show his joy, his peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness to the world. Because he literally lives within us and through us by his Spirit. Every day, we will surrender more and more to the work of God's Spirit. We will grow in his character traits. Which brings me back to Patrick. And the character quality that I see in him, that I believe was exemplified in his life, that I think we all really need to emulate in our own lives. I said earlier, Patrick was honest enough to recognize his shortcomings, right? Yet he never allowed them to rule his life because his heart and mind were surrendered to the Holy Spirit within him. In short, God knew that he could trust Patrick with the mission that he was calling him to. So the character trait we're going to look at today actually is trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. You know, vocabulary.com tells us that breaking apart the word trustworthy gives you a pretty good clue to its meaning. It combines the common word trust, which describes something you can rely on, right? And the word worthy, which describes something that deserves respect. You'll be able to better grasp the spectrum of meaning of being trustworthy as I read the following list of synonyms associated with it. Reliable, dependable, honest, full of integrity, worthy of trust, honorable, upright, principled, true, truthful, as good as one's word, ethical, virtuous, incorruptible, unimpeachable, above suspicion, responsible, sensible, level-headed, loyal, faithful, true blue, staunch, steadfast, constant, unswerving, unwavering, tried and trusted, tried and true, safe, secure, sound, guaranteed, unfailing, foolproof, reputable. Wow. Doesn't that give you a broad perspective of the word trustworthiness, what it means to be trustworthy? So today, we're going to reflect on a few of these aspects of being trustworthy. As we look at the why and how of each aspect, so that we can grow in each of these in our own character, right? So let's start with the most obvious. By being trustworthy, you reflect God's honesty. That's your first point in your outline. If you don't have it out, you can get it out now. Borrow your neighbor's pen. Reflect God's honesty. Now, Paul was the author of the letter to the church in Colossae, Greece. He was a prominent leader in the early church, establishing new churches in the many nations surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. Now, in this particular letter, we find him giving instructions about how honesty is a character quality that reflects the image of Christ in us. Listen to what he says. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. See, God in his essence is truth. It's a part of his nature. He can't not be truthful. All throughout the Bible, we hear him being called and being proven true. In fact, Jesus went so far as to make this claim for himself as the Son of God, as recorded in the eyewitness account by his friend and follower named John. Jesus told him, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now, by calling himself the truth, Jesus was claiming equality with God. And this claim was not lost on the religious leaders who were listening in and saw it as blasphemy. It was the main reason they sought to have him executed. No man could ever claim to be on par with God. Unless, of course, his claim was true. Because he was exactly who he said he was, and thus, as God, could not tell a lie. When we're honest in our dealings with people and God, and even ourselves, trust grows in us and how others view us. Other than God himself, no person or position automatically deserves your trust. It must be earned. Even being a pastor does not guarantee people's trust, and it shouldn't. I mentioned this before to some of you, but when I first went to Lethbridge, one of the board members there told me point blank, it's nothing personal, we just don't trust pastors anymore. Well, hi to you too. But that's why trustworthiness is such an important trait to me, especially as a pastor. And it's why my first priority is always to try to build trust with people I've just met. I can't speak into anyone's lives if they don't trust me. I can't help bring about any positive changes if I'm not trusted. Right? Listen to John's clear instruction regarding this to the early church. He said, "My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world." Wow. Now you might be thinking, well, then why in the world would I trust you? Well, if you don't know me, you shouldn't, right? Why would you? You should take what I say and weigh it out. Examine it, like John says. Watch my life. See if I can be trusted. Of course, you can expedite that process through the testimony of others, right? And determine from their experience whether I can be trusted or not. But don't ever just trust someone if you don't know them. So many churches have gone off sideways because of that. Too often we fall into trouble as we fail to heed what God tells us plainly in the Bible. That's the first aspect. Our honesty. Second is that the second aspect of trustworthiness, we need to respond fairly to everyone. Respond fairly to everyone. Have you got that video? Watch this video. Interesting. You know, you can find all kinds of these so-called social experiments on YouTube. Of course, all of them are made with a bias, or at least a thesis, that ends up steering the experiment in a certain direction, thus actually making the experiment unfair. Now listen to what God expects of his followers when it comes to our social dealings with other people. This message from the Lord came to Zechariah. Tell them to be honest and fair and not to take bribes, and to be merciful and kind to everyone. If you've been in the church for a while, there can be some tension regarding fairness, because fairness carries with it the idea of judgment. You see, there are many places where God says in the Bible, judge fairly. But then Jesus comes along and is quoted by his follower Matthew as saying, do not judge others and you will not be judged. At first glance, it looks like Jesus is contradicting what God the Father had previously said. So what are we supposed to do? Judge people but do it fairly, or not judge them at all. Well, when you take all that is said concerning this topic in the Bible, you find there really is no contradiction. And that Jesus' point is very clear. He says, do not be judgmental of people, but be fair with everyone. How you treat them is how you will be treated. This is the law of sowing and reaping, right? That I spoke about a few weeks ago. If you missed it, you can watch it on our YouTube channel. There's an old text in the Bible written by Moses, who quoted God in the book of the law called Leviticus. It said, never give special favors to poor people, and never show preference to important people. Judge your neighbor fairly. So don't give special favors to the poor, but don't show preference to the rich, basically sin, right? So God says fairness is not about equality, but equity or impartiality. But what do we like to do all too often? We judge others based on our own situation, right? Where we are at. Have you ever thought like this? If they're poor, they must be lazy. If they're rich, they must be corrupt. That's basing on where we're at, right? There's always somebody richer than us, so they must be corrupt. There's people poorer than me, so they must be lazier than me. God says, don't do this. Don't judge people based on their appearances or their nationality, their income, on their age, or anything else that can be misconstrued. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Give grace to them. Because the truth is, we never have all the facts. We can't. We're not God. Only He knows every detail, every contributing factor, and every motivation of the heart. Instead, be fair and impartial towards people. Treat everyone with the respect they deserve as a person created in God's image. A person that has such value to God that Jesus came and died for them so they could be reconciled to God. I could go on for quite a while about this, but let's move on to our last point today. Being trustworthy means we need to relate with integrity. Relate with integrity. Jesus made the following statement when it comes to integrity. He said, just say a simple yes, I will, or no, I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows something is wrong. When we don't follow through on something, the temptation is either to make up an excuse or to lie. Both are wrong. And show that there is a deeper problem in our lives than just not doing what we said we'd do or not do. The ancient psalm writer said the following about a godly person of integrity. He said, the one who makes a promise and does not break it, even though he's hurt by it. Many of you know the difficulty our family went through moving to Devon. We'd put an offer on a house here, but the sale of our house in Lethbridge fell through 3 times. We could have breached on our offer to buy the house here in Devon, but we knew we needed to show integrity. We said we'd buy it, so we were going to buy it. So we got an emergency interim mortgage to buy our home with. And believe me, folks, it hurt. And we're still feeling the effects of the thousands we lost in that deal. But I believe God will always honor those who honor Him. And one day we will be able to look back and rejoice in how God brought us through and hopefully used us to show the importance of integrity. Thing is, you will very likely at some time find yourself in an agreement, in a deal that turns out to be unprofitable for you. In that instance, what will you do? You have a choice. Both the psalmist and Jesus tell us that those who believe and trust in God must remain true to their word and character. Remember what St. Patrick admitted? He constantly made mistakes, frequently failed to live up to his own Christian ideals. But he was honest enough to recognize his shortcomings and never allow defeat to rule his life. Honesty, fairness, integrity are all virtues of a trustworthy person. And the Bible calls people who live out these virtues honorable and trustworthy. Therefore, we should honor and trust people like this. They are worthy of honor because they've proven that they're worthy of your trust. Now, before I finish my talk, maybe you're here today and you've been trying to figure out whether all this Jesus stuff is true or not. Maybe you've been put off by the lack of honesty or integrity that you've witnessed in someone claiming to be a Christian. Can I make a suggestion for you today? Don't let that person hold you back from the relationship with God who created you and loves you so much that he willingly laid down his life for you. Pay the price for the wrong that's in your life. The Bible calls it sin, which is really just missing the mark of God's best for you. And by dying, Jesus defeated the power of sin in the lives of those who would trust in him as the forgiver and leader of their lives. When he did this, Jesus said that he also defeated the power of death for us as well, meaning that like him, we will one day be raised from the dead to be with him together forever. If you'd like to do that today, ask Jesus to forgive you, to lead your life from now on, I'm going to help you in a short prayer. Or leading you in a short prayer. As we all bow our heads together, you can just pray along silently from your heart, and God will hear you and receive you as his child. Let's pray. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, not really giving you much thought in my life, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me and make me right with you. I believe that Jesus came to show me the only way to God by dying and paying for my sin. So right now, I ask you, Lord, lead my life, both now and forever. I want to discover more of who you are and who you created me to be. I want to be trustworthy, honest, fair, person of integrity. Please help me to become more like Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. As the other musicians come back, if you gave your life to Jesus today, you prayed that prayer for the first time, could you please let me know after the service? Or you can fill in one of those connect cards in the seat in front of you. Or online, there's one link to the video feed, and also our website, our app. Oh my goodness, how many places do we have it? But we have some resources we'd love to share with you. We can give you to start this new life, and I want to invite you back as well next week as we look at Palm Sunday, which was when Jesus revealed himself as the Savior, the Messiah, and that'll be a good service together.